Today's episode of the Aim High Podcast, Aviation Made Easy, is brought to you by our partners, Spectacular Interactive. SpectacularInteractive.com is where you can check out the ground school course that you can take online no matter where you live in America. You can now take care of your ground school and then go take your flight school at your local school, but Spectacular Interactive provides a fun, exciting, dynamic way to do it online, which means you can do it on your own time. And now, because it's the holidays and it's also introductory time, you can go to SpectacularInteractive.com, and when you check out, put in the promo code HANGERTALK14, no spaces, HANGERTALK14, and that'll get you 20% off the course, and you can begin your steps to fulfilling your dream of becoming a private pilot. Again, go to SpectacularInteractive.com, and then once you're there, type in promo code HANGERTALK14. And again, hangar, just so you know, is like the airport hangar, H-A-N-G-A-R. HANGERTALK14, promo code 20% off. Great time to begin your ground school.
Now boarding the Aim High Podcast.
Aviation made easy.
With your host, Erica Wiggins.
The Aim High Podcast.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @aim_high. And now, the CFI for Aim High, Erica Wiggins.
Hello, everybody, and happy holidays. We are right on the foot of Christmas and Hanukkah for some of you, and I'm just super pumped about being in this season and thinking about a few of my favorite things, and I'm certain that all of you are probably looking forward to a little bit of time either off of work or with your families, or for those of you who are working through the holidays, because I used to work shifts. Be safe out there, because a lot of times that's our public workers, so I just want to send a big warm holiday season greeting to those folks who are out there keeping us safe.
Yeah.
And flying the skies and air traffic controllers.
Air traffic controllers.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that segues into
perfectly
our podcast today, which Keith is actually going to take the lead on, because we're going to do a movie review, and we watched Ground Control
this week. Oh, yeah. No, so why did we choose Ground Control?
Well, you
were
on
Netflix.
Yeah, it was on Netflix. You were strategic. You picked several movies that were on Netflix and got me to choose.
Yeah.
So this was my choice.
This was your choice, but I gave you only the limited parameters.
Which I asked you to
do. On Netflix. We figured that was the easiest thing than saying, like, well, do you have this DVD or do you have this DVD?
Yeah, it gets too complicated.
Like, and with the beauty of Netflix these days, we just use that. Also available on Amazon Prime. But anyway, there's other places for you to go check this out. You may even be able to find out on YouTube.
Maybe, just maybe.
I'm not encouraging that, but you might be able to find it there. So Ground Control, starring Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes.
I love Kiefer Sutherland.
He is. I really like his acting, and that was why I picked this movie. I was looking at the cast going,
did you watch 24?
I've caught a few.
You're not a TV person, right?
I'm not. I don't watch TV. I do watch like some documentaries.
Yeah. The only TV show you watch is Airplane Repo.
Yeah, I do watch Airplane Repo sometimes. I watch a lot of TED Talks. I watch a lot of documentaries. I'm basically a boring person.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's getting me into some comedy here lately, so I'm actually starting to laugh.
Well, that's good. That is nice. Kiefer Sutherland, obviously awesome as Jack Bauer on 24. He also plays a Jack in this movie, Jack Harris.
Yes, a somewhat troubled controller.
Yeah.
Former controller. We open up the movie.
This episode has spoilers. The movie came out in 98, though, so you've had time.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Be prepared for some spoilers here. And Keith and I have had a different experience of this movie. I was talking about Christmas and looking forward to a few of my favorite things. I can say Ground Control wasn't one of them.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, and I found it somewhat painful.
Oh, wow. So and it maybe it has to do with more and less experience with aviation. But So one of the things that I wanted to get to on this show was, you know, so you got this guy, he is this controller, and he has this terrible experience. He's working at Chicago Center. He's got a plane with 147 souls on board.
174, I think it was. Okay. Yeah.
I had it backwards.
Yep.
And he loses them.
And through no fault of his own, by the way, but just such a traumatic experience, it totally rocks his world.
Just
and
totally
he leaves.
Rocks his world. So he leaves the entire world of ATC, you know. I mean, do you blame him? No.
That would be a tough one.
The rest of his life is falling apart, too. His baby is just being born, right? He's got all this stuff happening, and he ends up having none of that, really, any of it work out. Because his life becomes such a mess from this experience with ATC. So he gets as far away from it as possible. He starts a software company. We're never sure exactly what the software is that he's working on. He moves to Phoenix. Somehow, randomly, the manager, his manager from... from Chicago, also went to
Phoenix.
That's one of those. It was expensive to pay more actors thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be right. Anyway, so he goes to Phoenix, and now let me ask you something. Let's say you had a friend who was an air traffic controller who left it all. Let's say you're friends with Jack Harris. You've seen his life get ruined by the trauma, and he has depression and all this stuff because of his experience with air traffic control. He's just trying to get behind it and not think about the fact that he blames himself or was involved, at least watched, fall off the screen entirely.
Yeah, because it was through no fault of his own. I mean, I got that clear impression.
He was absolved of it. But 174 souls, he watched them disappear off his screen. The most horrifying thing that could happen to an ATC, right? And it's ruined his life. Are you going to be busy trying to recruit this guy back into the tower?
No, and for multiple reasons. The sensitive friend part of me would not want to do that to somebody. And the sense of preservation for those in the air would make me not want
to bring
him. For
the safety of the pilots.
Yeah, for the safety of the pilots and passengers, I wouldn't want to bring this guy back and plug him back in.
Will you and good old Jack's boss disagree?
Yes.
He desperately wants, come back in. We need you. You know that thing that ruined your life? Do more of it.
Yes. And this is the first of many things where you just shake your head in this movie and go, really?
It was a, I mean, listen, that bit to me struck me as the strangest where it's like, hey, you know how your life got ruined by this?
Yeah.
It's like, go back to it.
Yes.
Come on, man. It's going to be great. You love it. You love it. And he does. He loves being a controller. Now, the worst storm that you could ever imagine. I think they even gave a specific, like 80 knot crosswinds.
Yeah, something like that. You know, just a mega storm system.
Crazy
storm
coming, and they know it's coming, right? They're a couple hours away from it coming in. It's in California, right?
Yeah. So LA's getting hit. I guess it's moving toward Phoenix.
And it's making its way to Phoenix.
And they're shorthanded.
They're shorthanded, but not only are they shorthanded, they're also training. And they're training a new air traffic controller who's on her first night of air traffic control.
Who apparently made it all the way through the academy in Oklahoma City and was put into to work at a center in Phoenix without any internship or shadowing with another controller, and who apparently doesn't actually understand that
there's three
air
dimensions
traffic control is about three dimensions, even though she's gone through the FAA's training academy. Sorry, here we go. And so after 5 years of absence, Jack is asked to just wander back into the FAA.
And now he's just going to write the
strips.
Strips.
But here's where you start to lose me.
Okay.
He has been unemployed by the FAA.
Yeah, he's just going to walk
for 5 years
in and give a spot. Yeah.
And they're going to walk him, just come on up.
Well, they do have a one line in it where it's like, you know, he shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here, let's just do you a field check. Nah, you know, the FAA is a government agency. There's a whole lot more involved to coming back to being an air traffic controller in a busy center.
What if you're as skilled and passionate about the work as old Jack Harris?
I'm skilled and passionate about a lot of stuff. Yeah. They don't let me just go and plug in and do it.
But are you as skilled or as passionate as Jack Harris?
not about air traffic control. And I will say, when I was a student at Embry-Riddle, I did take a semester of air traffic control.
Sure.
Like kind of an intro to more or less a course designed to help people understand it. But they actually plugged us into simulators and had us control simulated traffic and such. And
how'd you find it?
I came out of that with a lot more respect for air traffic controllers and a thorough understanding of the fact that it wasn't something I could possibly do.
Well, this brings us, we actually got a reader email on this. I put on our Facebook page and I tweeted out that we were going to be talking about ground control. And I guess we had a couple people maybe watch and wanted to comment on it. But this comes from a reader, Robin. She lives in Twin Falls, Idaho. Anyway, she says, while watching ground control, I noticed the relationships between pilots and air traffic controllers and how they're both a little bit sarcastic about the other, unless there's an emergency. Talk about the relationships between ATC and pilots a little bit.
And, you know, there is an absolute relationship. I mean, that is the right word to use between pilots and air traffic controllers. And like with any relationship that's kind of like, you know, two buddies, so to speak, who maybe like different football teams, there's going to be a bit of some jabs exchanged back and forth. At the same time, there is a mutual respect. Even though there's some ribbing and joke, you know, pilots making controller jokes, controllers making pilot jokes. And I think even that appreciation
there's
for one another.
There's plenty of that happens in this movie, by
the way. Oh, yeah.
And the jokes are terrible.
Oh, yeah. They're totally cliche.
Wait a second, though. Are they the same caliber of joke that you'll hear if you're in the plane?
They are so overdone and overrated. Like, I mean, you've heard, as a pilot, I have heard these so many times, and somebody actually thought they were original. Oh. They weren't original in 98 either. I've been flying since the
80s. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I had heard these jokes for years before they made this movie.
I loved the air traffic controller. He's like, he's flying like my ex-wife drives.
Yeah. You know, there were a few there. But quickly on the relationship thing,
sure.
though, I think beyond emergencies, I think that the relationship is positive. And a lot of time, a lot of moments, especially like when the chips are down and things are really busy, and a pilot really appreciates an efficient controller, and a controller really appreciates an efficient pilot who anticipates their needs. And that's where it's a lot like a relationship. You have two people anticipating each other's needs, mm-hmm. who have developed a level of communication, who can work together toward a common goal. And that does happen a lot in air traffic control, and you know, the whole scenario between pilots and controllers. So.
And I thought that they did a good job of kind of illustrating the fact that, you know, while they're catty towards each other, and even other ATC, you know, guys, the guy from Dead Poets Society,
yeah,
he's in there, and he's a hotshot controller, and he feels strange about different people. Anyway, there's some competitiveness in the tower, and in control, and the bottom line is but when the chips are laid down,
they all work together.
They find a way. Just put all that other stuff aside.
Yeah, and the one blonde, though, with the long hair,
yeah.
I think she was the
Kelly McGillis.
Kelly McGillis, yeah, she's making like the most cliche jokes ever that they just felt like needed to be immortalized in film. And
I think they needed to be.
Yeah.
You didn't?
No.
So here's the deal. So now they had a choice. They knew that the storm was coming, right? And Kelly McGillis is in charge of Phoenix Tower, right?
And yeah, she's on tower frequency.
She's there, and she has the call, right? They know that this huge, crazy storm is coming, and she, for pride reasons, doesn't say defer those flights and don't come to us.
Wasn't it the manager?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was the...
But it's like, we're going to take these flights, come hell or high water, which, by the way, is literally coming.
Yeah, yeah. So she takes on an extra load. And meanwhile, we have the guy who played Fonz downstairs.
Yeah, Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler downstairs attempting to keep together all of this archaic equipment that they're operating on. And he has requisitioned a bunch of parts, and there's no budget for it. And stuff is holding together by a shoestring. So now we've got a storm.
They have this excellent part in the movie where there's a conflict about temperature.
Yes.
And power, right? They don't have enough power to go around. So they can't run their air conditioning. You're in Phoenix. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that and the computers aren't going to keep running once it gets too hot.
But
down
if it gets 105 degrees, your computers are apparently going to explode.
Which they do in the movie. Okay, I will just say it.
The computers exploded.
Yeah. Okay.
It's 105 degrees. Explosion!
Yeah, and that's the thing about this movie I didn't like. It was one thing after another, after another, after another. Like, if anything could go wrong, it did. If they had narrowed it down to, here is our conflict pain point that these actors are all going to team together to solve. So let's say it is a... They're understaffed, the storm is coming, and they've got all this stuff to do, and there's just one thing. But instead, somebody sat there with an encyclopedia of problems and came up with every one they could add to this film. So we have the no budget for parts, the power problem,
right.
The mentally disturbed former controller, the new controller, the controller with an attitude.
The mentally disturbed guy was great.
Well, there were two, actually, because there was one Jack is one. And
right.
Then there's another one who's on his way out to follow Jack in his footsteps like he's his hero. And then we have the manager who wants to look good to everybody.
Wait, hang on. Talk about the golf club.
Okay.
Talk about the golf club.
The golf club would have been justified. Oh, yeah, we forgot. We have the overenthusiastic bean-counting risk manager watching through the blinds to pick everybody apart. When they're just trying to do their job,
really upset with like all the stuff that's going on there, but doesn't do anything about like this. Like,
yeah, he's
sorry.
Just like, I'm going to write you
he's
up.
Like, I'm just
going to
write
you
up, but like he doesn't actually like get in the way. He's like, this is extremely dangerous. I'm going to permit it to happen,
and I'm going to write you.
But I'm just going to write it up.
Yeah. So finally, this one guy who's really on the edge, going the direction of Jack, grabs a golf club and starts to go after this guy. And that's about the only time in this movie where I'm going, do it, do it, do it.
you like to see the risk manager guy get something.
He was, yeah, he was being a jerk. And
yeah. The good bit about that guy is, you know, that guy must be into sports because he's got a, I don't know, he has a golf club? Is it just out in his car? Where did he get the golf club?
That's a good question. Why is there a golf club up in...
Also, he's always wearing his Phoenix Suns hat, so he must love basketball.
Yeah, but he's got a golf club.
He's a sports fan. As you know, I'm a sports fan, and I'll just say this. If I have a meltdown, it's going to be awesome.
I believe this, folks. If you get a chance to know Keith and his enthusiasm for sports, what he just said makes total sense.
If I ever have a psychological meltdown, you know, it'll be just hilarious. I'll be wearing like some like jersey. And anyway,
and on the evening news. Okay, so moving
on.
Yeah,
on the evening news. Yeah, they'll be like, whoever. Tom Brady. Just anyway. Okay, sorry.
This guy Jack actually ends up controlling traffic after 5 years.
Yeah,
because they're short staffed and they want to pull somebody.
I mean, gosh, he is as sharp as he's ever been.
He's super sharp until he starts having flashbacks and basically a case of PTSD.
There's only one question that makes him nuts, right? He just can't keep it together. That question. How many souls on board?
Yeah, but you know, it is. He doesn't have to hear. That's echoing in his mind.
Yeah.
So like something will to go wrong and he starts hearing the question, how many souls are on board?
Yeah.
So he starts to melt down, controlling live traffic. There's a loss of separation there briefly. It's just stuff keeps going.
There's so many things. There's three other spots where I thought the movie was over. And then it wasn't.
The goose? The Christmas goose?
Oh, talk about the goose. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, here it is. It's Christmas. We have the Christmas goose. So like,
the Christmas goose, yeah.
Finally,
by the way, it's on New Year's, so it's timely, too.
Yes, it is a timely movie.
If you want a good New Year's movie,
themed.
You know, and throw a hangar party.
I have a podcast on that.
Show a little bit of the show ground control at your New Year's Eve party. Because it's a New Year's Eve movie.
Yeah, and it would be fun for pilots because you do get that chance to between...
My positive side, I actually thought it did a good job of trying to respect the aviation world. It tried
its
hardest. There was moments where it was bad. But
absolutely it did. They tried to keep terminology in place and stuff like that.
Somebody did a lot of research.
I expected to be able to pick it apart from that realm, and they gave me very little material there. Really what was killing it was the... was overdoing the disasters,
right.
And then of course goose.
Also, how many of these little airplanes? Because there was a couple times where they had tiny airplanes landing at Sky Harbor.
Well, it was one, and yeah, I mean, certainly they can.
Yeah.
I don't know what the landing.
By the way, that guy was freaking clueless.
Yeah, so we have a – well, let's finish the Christmas goose. Yeah, then we'll move on to general aviation aircraft flying in massive thunderstorms, a Cessna, with a pilot who doesn't know what a transponder is.
All right, talk about the ILS,
okay.
Though.
Yeah. But the ILS – so
– yeah, he doesn't know what the transponder is.
Really?
I flipped out at that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So – and doesn't speak English, hardly. But back to the goose. I know you're just dying to hear about
it. But he had a pretty woman next to her. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, he was panicking.
We're obviously excited about the GA, but go to the goose.
Yes, so the goose. So after we get through, shorthanded, we've got a guy off the street who's got PTSD up there controlling traffic. I have another one who has a mental break. We have all the equipment goes down. I think by this time, three times, they get it back up. And then, like a string of pearls... if any of in aviation know the term, all those landing lights coming in to land, all these planes are being brought in to land. And right before they can do that, ILS goes out.
Oh,
so it's like, really? One more thing goes wrong?
No.
And so Henry Winkler character goes running out on the field, you know, drives out there to check the ILS and finds out a goose had flown into the equipment and been killed, jamming the ILS. Beacons.
It's a bird strike.
On ground-based navigational aid. So he pulls a goose out by its neck.
The goose looked realistic.
Yeah, it did look pretty realistic, and then he throws it down at the ground. Then he shocks himself unconscious briefly.
Yeah, as he's trying to hook it up again.
Yeah, but his making that connection.
He flies off the rotating beacon, right?
And off the navigation equipment. But him causing that connection that shocked him and threw him off fixed everything.
It fixed everything.
Yeah, so
everything,
now they can
radio's back.
Everything's
back.
Now
they went from having nothing... And
well,
then that
it was
stupid
no,
goose.
They had stuff up in center, but they didn't have an ILS. So now they suddenly have an ILS they've gotten the goose out, and he's taken the shock for the team. And so
my
now
favorite
they
part of
everybody.
That scene is when he takes the goose, he drops it down off the little bridge
and
area,
it goes boonk,
and it hits the ground, and then a homeless guy came by and picked it up and ate it.
No,
okay, that didn't happen, but it would have been awesome.
That really would have been awesome. I mean, at that point, we needed to have Lassie run into the frame and try and rescue everybody.
or the goose flies away.
Oh, God.
Flies.
Yeah, that would have been... We had so many good saves by this point.
Okay.
And now everybody's landing. We're thinking that the movie's got a happy ending.
That's
everyone's
right, yeah.
Happy.
So everyone's landing.
Oh, but we're not done yet.
It's all going well. Now, here's the thing. Like, I know what they say about Chicago and New York, but forget it. We're the best... Oh, hang on. GA.
Okay,
talk about the GA guy.
Okay, so somebody's up in weather that wouldn't be advisable for any single-engine Cessna. Somehow is
80-knot crosswind.
Somehow this guy is a pilot who doesn't understand when they ask him to please turn on his transponder.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak English, so somehow he became a pilot without being able to read, speak, and understand the English language. He has a near miss with one of the... airliners.
He does.
Scared female passenger. And then comes down and lands safely without like a whole bunch of people up there trying to drag him out. And, you know,
right.
Because he's like, you know, lands at Phoenix without talking to anybody or understand. I mean, he does briefly, but basically doesn't hardly communicate, just lands and taxis and shuts down. So, yeah, I had to call that out.
Well, and by the way, this pilot was played by the actor Brian George, who famously was Babu in Seinfeld. He's in the Seinfeld show. Anyway,
that makes it better.
It's fun. I was like, oh look, there's Babu. You know, it's exciting. It's exciting. He's the guy that Jerry suggested open up a I think Nepalese food place.
Oh, I like Nepalese food.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, it closes. It doesn't work out. And the guy's blaming Jerry for it. And Jerry feels bad about it. But anyway.
Now, I've been vocal about the things I didn't like here. And believe me, the disasters aren't over yet.
No, the disasters aren't over.
But what did you like about the film?
No, I guess all I was saying is what I liked about it was I thought that they, for what it was, as a Hollywood film and executing sort of kind of the just entertainment value. I don't know. You throw it on and... I didn't focus a ton.
Yeah.
On
it's not intellectually challenging.
No. And But, you know, I thought it was a good... Like I said, I like the way that it did at least seem to respect the kind of the aviation world and put some of that stuff together. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was so bad. Honestly, you know what it was? Is I read the synopsis of it. I hit play and I was like, well, here we go. You know,
uh-huh.
It wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
And I thought it, because of the cast, I thought it was going to be better. And I guess this was a direct film to, you know, just like went direct to video.
Yeah.
They didn't even stop go. And I was listening to NPR last, day before yesterday, I think. And they were talking about actors who just, you know, take a job just to show up for the paycheck.
Yeah.
I really think Kiefer Sutherland did that on this one. It was just like, I hadn't worked in a while. Let me grab this one. Because I was really expecting more from
Wait
this
a
cast.
Second. Here's another one, though. I think the script would have been like the biggest pain ever to try to memorize. Because there's so many call signals and there's so many.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they really had to work at that.
I also thought they did a good job of like, they're having conversations, but the controller still has to control traffic. And
yeah.
So, like, he'd stop mid sentence and
Which
then control
do.
The traffic
yeah.
and then go back to finishing his sentence, you know. Anyway, I thought they did an all right job of kind of depicting the world a little bit.
Yeah, they did. And I will give him credit on that. There wasn't a bunch of stuff where I said, that's just.
If you're an air traffic controller,
they had a
though, you have to see this movie, right?
They had a consultant.
We'll have to tell Nathan Myers. He has to see this movie.
Nathan might not appreciate us very much if we tell him to watch this movie.
I'll tell him to watch it.
I want to hear what he has to say.
I think he'd enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the planes are down. They're standing around in a circle.
Oh, they start to drink.
I don't care what they say about Chicago and New York. The best air traffic controllers in America are in Phoenix.
Ah! Yeah.
Now, they've got a ton of alcohol there. They're ready to drink.
And there is no replacement crew. And this is not a control center that, like, has a closing time.
Right.
So all the people who were there are no new actors coming in and plugging in to take
sure.
over from them. They're still the only ones up there, and they are passing the bottle.
Oh, by the way, all the avionics, like, it all went down. And they're landing people because Kiefer Sutherland has made some erasers and batteries, and he's mapped out where everybody's flying on a table.
Yeah. So, but we're not done yet. They're drinking, but it's not time yet.
Yeah.
It's too soon. They're,
it's not
they
done
still,
yet.
Yeah.
Now there's a little. They didn't notice. There's still a little dot. On
yeah.
The
there's
screen.
Still a there's still an airliner out there with souls on board.
How many?
I don't remember that one.
135.
Okay. And they make sure they dramatically have parents with babies.
Oh, twins.
Twin babies.
No, it's
yeah.
a mom twin. With twins, right?
Mom with, yeah, twin babies.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And there's a man in a business suit who shows compassion and
mm-hmm.
decides to watch after one of the babies for this mother. And
they're getting knocked
I like
around
to,
by
I like
the
to think
storm.
That, I like to think that was the beginning of their love story.
Oh, don't you think there was a baby daddy?
I would probably
of those
so.
Twins.
Probably so, but why is he not on the flight? What's going on? If so, he's in a lot of trouble for not being there. You put me on that plane that
yeah,
almost
we
went
get
down.
In this horrible
How
storm.
How dare you?
Plane gets struck by lightning.
Struck
which...
by lightning. Now, if I don't know if an airplane. Let me ask you: if an airplane gets struck by lightning, that's a bad deal, probably.
It happens, though. It's not as bad as what was shown.
So
in this
what
movie.
Happens in the movie? They lose everything.
Yeah, also it blows their hydraulics. It blows all their avionics.
Yeah,
it's this horrible. Now the
so they have
the
no more aer- no more his, control surfaces are working for them anymore.
Yeah, so the co-pilot picks up his cell phone and calls air traffic control.
Thank goodness it's 1998. They have cell phones. It was
it's
funny.
1998.
I was
I'm not sure cell phones would have worked from. I mean, I know that they can work from the air at from up to altitudes. You would be really surprised,
right?
But in that case, I'm not so sure
yeah,
a cell phone
well,
would have made the call.
All I know, it was funny. I was watching it with some friends, and they said, "Wait a second. I thought something terrible. They don't. You know, I thought
yeah.
something terrible would happen if you used your airplane.
No.
If your cell phone in the airplane, like, isn't the plane going to crash
no.
anyway? And I was like, no.
And then there's like, then you could also just throw, even if that were true, their avionics are all gone
plus
already.
Plus, you're going to
so
crash
not
anyway.
Interfere
yeah,
with them.
That's right.
There's no avionics to.
Well, even if
black.
It did make you crash, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, all right. So now they've got all these problems, right?
Yeah.
And so now Dead Poet Society and Jack Harris, old Kiefer, they now have got to bring down this plane that has nothing. basically, right?
Nothing. Yeah.
And they've got a couple choices to make.
Well, first of all, the pilot calls your traffic controllers and essentially asks for advice on how to fly his plane.
That's right. You were that was what offended you most about this movie.
I think that really disturbed me the most.
What offended you the most. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about that.
As a pilot, now I never flew for airlines, so I cannot speak to, but I do know that as a pilot, you do go through just about every failure sure. scenario. Well, you do go through every individual failure scenario and train on that. Combinations of failures, so you can't anticipate everything. So no, you can't train for everything, but you understand how your plane works. You understand the physics of power. This is a, you know, it has more than one engine. They still have engine power. They are having trouble controlling because they have no hydraulics, but they do still have the potential of using some degree of asymmetrical thrust. But he had to call the controllers and get them to suggest that this is how he flies the plane. And I am not familiar with the aircraft and, you know, any of the aircraft in question. I've not been trained on them, but there's just some basics. And I do know I'm not going to call air traffic control and ask them how to fly my plane.
Any advice for us? Because, you know, we're up here, nothing's working, so we're waiting for you guys to tell us what to do.
Yeah, and controllers are incredibly knowledgeable.
Yep.
But I just think that was, and have a lot of resources, but I just think that one was overstated and exaggerated pretty badly.
So now they have a choice, land in the desert or try to figure out a way to get that into this city of millions of people.
Yeah, so do we risk going into crowded buildings?
So do we just say, ditch this thing in the desert and we'll come and rescue you, or we're going to try to get you to the runway?
And
what do they go for?
Well, of course, they go for the runway.
They go for the runway, even though they have the only way that they're going to control their plane is, what did you call it?
Asymmetrical thrust. Just basically, they're powering up one engine on one side.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's how they're going to be able to turn this thing around and get it set up and get the exact heading. And that would be a difficult maneuver. Yeah.
Yeah. I would. I mean, I'm not, you know, I won't claim any experience with the aircraft, but yeah, I mean, anytime you lose all your hydraulics,
I got to tell you, it's a dramatic finish. They weren't lined up, right?
Yeah.
Weren't lined up. They gave a little buzz
to the tower.
I wonder if that was a little shout out to Top Gun.
Oh, heck yeah. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
So, and then back around and...
Before they buzz the tower, they fall off the face of the earth, and oh my gosh.
And Kiefer Sutherland's thinking that he's just lost a whole other plane full of souls.
Actually, when that happened, my wife gasped. She gasped. But she's easy, man. She falls into this.
I saw that come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he, you know, but then of course they.
So he runs around, and now they're worried. That's the other. Now they're worried. Jack, he's run up, and he's on the tower now, right? And he's looking out.
He's on some outside balcony.
And he's on some outside balcony, and he's looking for the plane.
They're
worried he's going to commit suicide. Again, thanks, boss, for bringing me back into the one thing that's made me insanely miserable in my life. So they're worried he's going to jump. Oh, this is a great movie. You guys just have to go home and watch. Anyway, long story short, they figure it out.
Yes, and then, of course, there's a little romantic thing brewing between the noob and...
The brand new girl, yeah.
Yeah, and Jack Harris, and they all run to the terminal to see all the saved passengers walk off.
Yeah, and there's a nod between the pilot and Jack.
And Then Jack and the new girl. That was charming. Then he and it's like the wife could have been the pilot tells the co-pilot, "Don't you ever tell my wife what happened," and the wife is meeting him as he steps
at the
off
airport,
of the plane, like as if there wasn't a whole crew of people
emergency.
Waiting.
Well, that's the other one. They did show that there was all these fire engines, flashing lights on the runway,
and all these other people walking off with them that are somehow going to stay about almost dying.
So much trauma. And stuff. Don't you dare tell my wife.
Don't tell my wife. Hopefully she won't notice all the emergency vehicles and all the people running off kissing the ground as they step off the plane. And then, of course, we have the cliche romantic, I totally want to get to know you better between Jack and
even,
the other
it's
chick.
Kiefer. They didn't even need to have any of that. It's like clearly this chick's going to want him.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Kiefer. As a woman, I'm going to call this out. Her character shows more and more cleavage from the beginning to the end of the movie.
Yeah, I like that.
I was like, what is up with that? All of a sudden, she looks
like the
grim little librarian at the beginning of the movie. By the end, she's got the tousled hair the sweater unbuttoned.
Yeah, it's like when you go fishing, you know, you start with flies.
Oh, that's not working.
Now throw a little bait on there, now a little power bait. Heck, if you got to throw the dynamite out there, and she did.
Yeah, that's what she was doing, you know, it's like red hair down, unbuttoned the sweater.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you gotta hook your fish.
I mean, she was giving him every hint in the book.
Yeah.
Like, okay, dude, you are clearly clueless.
Yeah. Now, goodbye. I know that you're a freaking messed up weirdo who has had all these problems, but you know what? I'm going to look by that. You want to know why?
I find disturbed men attractive.
No. He's handsome. She knows all that other stuff, but what's she gonna
do? Okay.
He's handsome.
Women have a little bit, no. Okay.
No, but that's terrible. What I'm saying is that's a terrible, I'm saying
that's
that within the construct of the movie.
It's a sad portrayal of the female character in this, that she's looking at this guy. But okay, yeah, he did end up saving the day.
I'm gonna look by all of this. You know, he's a little bit crazy. He's a nice enough guy. But, you know, maybe want to stay away from that. He's certainly emotionally disturbed.
He clearly still needs a few hours of clock time with a therapist.
But he's handsome. He's handsome. Forget it. You know? I'm easy. let me open my shirt up a little bit and see if I can get this. Yeah.
So, folks, if we haven't either completely scared you away from this movie at this point, or you are searching Netflix now.
No. My suggestion is I actually think you might have a lot of fun. With this, and if you do watch it, you know, it might be fun. Maybe I should put a thing at the front that says, watch this movie before you listen to this.
No, because I think if I had listened to our dialogue before I watched the movie,
and
then I saw
the
stuff, it would have been so much more fun, because
okay.
I think that you and I batting this around but go into it with a humorous mind of looking at, and we haven't even told you all the disasters.
We brushed over stuff.
I mean, it just keeps coming. It's like a fire hose of everything that could go down and go wrong.
I mean,
wrong
at least the perfect storm was called the perfect storm. You know how everything just goes bad for George Clooney in that movie? It's like, oh, they kind of nodded at it. It's like, well, what do you expect? Yes, everything is going to go wrong in this movie. It's called the perfect storm.
And I think that was based on a true story.
Well, so it was the perfect storm.
Yeah, I'm
literally.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to Google that after the show, but I'm pretty sure that was based on real events.
I don't think it was the real thing.
No.
George Clooney's around still.
No, I didn't. Yes, I record with this guy every week. I should have seen that coming.
Anyway, last thing I wanted to say, though. Little tip of the cap, though, to old Ground Control. It's contributions to the world of aviation
within
movies.
Yes, this is interesting, folks.
So the writer of this movie, who we've kind of...
You writer know, or producer?
No, he
writer?
Was the writer.
Okay.
His name is Talat Kapitan. Anyway, he was making this movie and realized the difficulty it was to make it, because shooting scenes at airports and stuff like that was really a difficult thing for them to get done. It's true. Like, I mean, if you want to shoot in an airport, like, when do you get ATC
really
to
tough.
Shut down so you can make a movie and stuff?
Yeah, you don't.
And how do you film, like, foyer scenes, right, and stuff like that without, like, you know, like, people going, what are you doing, getting your shot and getting your way? So they had a really hard time making this movie, and so what happened was, is after this, he decided, you know, I'm done screenwriting. I'm done with that. What I'm going to do now is... he then went and bought a plot of land in Southern California. He called it Air Hollywood. It's a huge soundstage set now where you can film all sorts of aviation movies. So, like, Red Eye, scenes from Modern Family, like when they fly to Hawaii, and just basically anytime you see an aviation part in the movies, if they're in an airplane or something like that, it's now filmed at this place that Mr. Kapitan put together there at Air Hollywood.
And that is so cool.
So its contribution
now
stands as an important part of the history of aviation and movies.
That is awesome. And folks, if we get Nathan Myers from our How to Agitate ATC episode... You can look that on our history archives. Yeah. If we get him to give us a comment on this, we will share that with you in an upcoming podcast.
Yeah,
so we'll just kind of like at the end, we will say, hey, little follow-up to our Ground Control episode. Here is what Nathan Myers thinks.
Yeah.
Either we'll get him to write us something or record with him briefly what his thoughts are in ground control, if we can get him to watch it.
Hey, if you've enjoyed listening to Aviation Movies, we would be happy to do one of these every once in a while. If you have suggestions for what movie we ought to do, I would love to do it. I think it's fun.
Yes.
I also wrote, just so you know, there's only one blog post about it, but I have written an Aviation Movies blog post on our blog at aimhigh.com. And then just click on blog and find it. I wrote about the Three Amigos, the comedy Three Amigos, and the aviation and how it's important to the plot of that. So check that out as well. But happy holidays to all of you.
Absolutely. And if you come up with some of those movies, email keith@aimhigh.com or Erica, your IKA, at aimhigh.com. And we may have some discussion about this on Twitter at @AME_high.
That's right.
On Twitter. And you can also catch me at @active_explorer.
We appreciate you listening to the show.
Goodbye, everyone. Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Aim High podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at @aim_high and like us on Facebook. And if you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes. We know you have many choices when it comes to your podcast, and we thank you for choosing ours. When you're learning how to fly, aim high. Aviation made easy.
Thanks again to Spectacular Interactive for bringing you this episode of the Aim High podcast, Aviation Made Easy. Spectacular is our partner, and they are offering you their interactive, dynamic, and online ground school to any student pilot in the country. You'll be taking the Aim High course that has been approved by our CFI, Erica Wiggins. Check out SpectacularInteractive.com to enroll today, and when you do, type in the promo code HangerTalk14. No spaces, HangerTalk14, to get 20% off your course. It's a great way to prepare for the FAA written test, as it incorporates the questions and standards used by the FAA. Again, go to SpectacularInteractive.com and type in promo code HangerTalk14. Enroll in ground school and begin your dream of becoming a pilot today.